Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, we are live with our 10th episode of Edu All-Stars. Today, I'm excited that we have Brad Wade and Drew Minock here, who are a couple of teachers from Eastover Elementary in Bloomsfield Hills, Michigan, who are on a mission to change the way that kids learn, teachers teach, and lead by using technology. They have a small iPad pilot going on in their school and are using it to create meaningful and engaging lessons, and they're also leaders in the field of augmented reality and education. I'm one of your hosts. I am Todd Nesloni on Twitter. I'm Tech Ninja Todd.
And I'm Stacy Huffine, otherwise known as Tech Ninja Stacy on Twitter.
And my name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at I am Kessler.
And to hear what they say, like I said, Brad, you can introduce yourself first and then Drew.
All right. Hey, I'm Brad, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you guys tonight.
I'm Drew, and on Twitter at Tech Minock.
Okay, I'm at Tech Brad Wade. I think it's on my banner right there.
Okay, so we have never done a podcast with two guests before, so we are going to see how this works. And we also wanted to say, Chris and I just wanted to let everybody know that Stacy, as you can tell, is still a part of the show.
She decided
to actually show up today, so we are glad that she is here. So welcome back, Stacy.
I'm not on vacation. I don't have any kids meetings, and my computer's working. So.
She didn't drown on her family vacation to the river.
Okay. Well, enough about us. We'll move into the actual interview now. So the first question we always like to start with is just kind of a little bit of a background of how you got into education. And so, Brad, let's go ahead and start with you. How did you get how did you know that you wanted to be a teacher?
I started out in psychology with a psychology degree. When my wife was going to law school, I was lucky enough to sell copiers. That was an awesome job. And then we moved back to Michigan, and I was looking to do something very meaningful, and I had been teaching Sunday school at church and just trying to figure out what to do, and my wife said, you should be a school teacher. I said, what? And she said, yeah. So I took her up on it. I explored it. I went and did some classroom visits and realized how much I loved it, and so I ended up going back to school, and that was about 15 years ago now, and it was one of the best decisions I ever made.
And Drew, what about you?
I always kind of wanted to go into teaching. My dad was a teacher early on, and then he ended up getting out of it, and always told me that was one of his biggest regrets was getting out of teaching. So, you know, I always knew early on that I wanted to go into education in some way. I always wanted to be an athletic director, but that's changed. Yeah, so just always really been interested in it.
Can you guys think of some influences maybe that that you had in the past that influenced you to get into education? It sounds like both your parents and your family members had an involvement, but maybe a teacher along the way that you can look back to think that you really want to be like them in the classroom?
Well, yeah, Drew and I actually had this discussion, on the way back from Podstock maybe or something. And,
during our 18-hour drive.
Yeah, exactly. And like a 5 hour every few hours. I had a college professor, Dr. Nancy Voigt. I was telling Drew that she was the first teacher I'd had that really she kind of celebrated me as a person, which I thought was really cool because I was not always the best paper tester. If you talk to me, I could tell you I really knew what was going on, and I could share my information with you and what I'd learned, but the paper-pencil test was not always my strength, and so I ended up working with this professor for 3 years in college, and she was just amazing, and so I did want to give a big shout-out to her. I don't know if she's ever if she ever watches or where she's at these days, but she made a huge impact on my life, and she's put her stamp on me as to how I work with kids. I celebrate their individualism and their strengths on how they learn. It doesn't have to be traditional. It can be whatever it is for that, you know, that student.
Andrew?
I'd say I had a few, and kind of like Brad, I had one college professor that really you know, pushed me in a certain direction and was really a mentor in college, and that's Dr. Pasoric. She was at Eastern Michigan University in the early childhood curriculum, and she to this day has been a mentor for me that I can go to advice. I actually just had lunch with her less than a month ago, so that was great. And then there was a couple teachers in high school that really just, you know, they didn't teach like the normal teacher did, you know, they kind of made it fun and engaging, and in high school, and even, you know, my senior year in math, I had a teacher called, or Mr. French, and he had one of those, you know, handlebar mustaches. He had a curling iron in class. He'd curl it. His mustache in class. And his favorite number was 29. So, I mean, any answer hit 29, you could hear it in the whole upper part of the whole high school, because he'd scream 29 as loud as he could. He would jump on desks. I mean, he just made it fun, you know. So I would say those two were definitely influential for me and really pushed me in to be people or teachers that I'd like to be like.
I just want to make a note that if you're listening out there live, if you're listening on August 14th at 8:38 p.m. Central Time, we are tweeting at EduAllStars at the hashtag EduAllStars. So if you have something you want to say or ask a question, definitely feel free to do that there. We're kind of following that along at the same time. I'm kind of following along. Todd, you can't do
that. I can't. I get too distracted by it. I'm just glad that this is the first podcast that I'm not going to get distracting texts during.
Oh, that's so funny.
We can change that.
Yeah, now that I say that.
Yeah, really.
Okay, so I'm going to bring up the obvious, you know, the whole two guys and some iPads. We know why it's two guys, and I assume the whole iPad thing in the classrooms is that part, but I mean, with the website and, you know, speaking in different conferences and stuff, how did all that get started between the two of you?
I guess I'll start this one, Drew.
I've
had five iPads in my class for about a year and a half, and I'm part of a small pilot program, and I got five more because of some cool stuff I was doing, I guess. I was making some impact, and I was talking about it. Well, Drew was new to our building this year, and once I got the additional five, him and I started talking about things in class. So we both teach third grade together. And I said, hey, you know what? My iPads, when I'm not using, they just sit there. Why don't you take them? So we started sharing together those iPads. And I'm telling you, no sooner did we start doing that, you know, he'd tell me something he found, an app he found, and the impact it had on the kids. And then I'd do the same thing. Next thing you know, we're doing a lot of work outside of work and talking about it and sharing it. Well, then we kind of like talked to our principal about it. And she's like, oh, that's really cool. You should talk to the staff. So we did like a PD for the staff. And then we went to McCall, which is our state conference here. And that was something where Drew and I, we were in, we'd seen Leslie Fisher. We were in Adam Bellow's session, and he did something with augmented reality and Erasmus, and we just both kind of looked at each other and said, that's it. This is something we need to be doing. But just prior to that, during that day, we were out in the lunchroom, the causeway, and there were probably 1,000 people there, and I see Drew shaking his head already. I was so excited about all the cool things we were doing. I was already ready to start talking to people.
I was
this close to getting Drew convinced to do a flash mob presentation
I'd
right
say it
there.
It's probably like that close. You weren't that close.
So I was trying to convince him to do it, and he was almost there. He's a little nervous, but our principal's there. Well, the funny thing is, our assistant superintendent, Lori McCarty, came up and was like, what's going on? So we all started talking. Like, I want to present. We want to talk about it. And Drew, and, you know, we're talking about it. And then she looks at us and said, when are you going to present to the administrators? We're like, we'll do it right now. So we got on their docket to speak to them. So to shorten this up, when we got to Adam Bellow's session, Drew said, I got the perfect thing for you. If he opens it up, you can go up and share. And I said, I'm going. Drew goes, well, I'll go if you go. So as soon as Adam Bellow opened up the session, there we were. We went straight to the front, and we both did a five-minute thing on CargoBot. He did three ring. And then that kind of led into some cool connections with some people, and it presented to administrators, and Drew can finish that journey right there.
Yeah, I'll go back to the lunch story real quick. Brad wanted to literally stand on top of the table and just start presenting right there on the spot. I'm like, Brad, I'm not standing on a table and presenting right now. So, in the Leslie Fisher thing, it's like when she showed Erasmus, she showed the $20 bill trick, and I'd never seen it before. And then she showed it, and then it was like, okay, next, you know, next app. And I'm sitting here going, next app? No, let's go backwards here. Like, what was that, you know? And then we saw it again in Adam Bello's session, and yeah, after that was spring break, not far, and Brad and I spent the whole week, you know, looking at different things with Erasmus and what we could do with it, and kind of went from there, and then we just happened to see, that's when we started our Twitter handles, was what, May 2nd, Brad?
May 2nd is when we started our Twitter handles.
May 2nd, and I don't even know if it was a week later when...
It was Monday. We started our handles on Thursday, and it was Monday when you made a tweet.
Yeah, and I saw that Kevin Honeycutt, you know, he was our keynote at McCall, so I saw he was going to be in half hour, 40 minutes from us, so I tweeted him, said, hey, you need to come down and see what we're doing, you know? And he actually tweeted me back. I almost had a heart attack. I, like, went running down to Brad's room.
And, yeah, it was awesome.
You know, we went up there. He's like, let me check the schedule. It didn't work out, so he invited us up for dinner, and, you know, he just kind of gave us the ins and outs and gave us a bunch of really helpful information. It was amazing. For, like, 4.5 hours, we were with him. You know, actually, you know, yeah. We're playing iPad guitars, and we're singing, and we're playing the drums in his hotel room. I'm sure the neighbors hated us, but it was just great, and then it really kind of snowballed from there, and we met Erin Klein, who obviously, you know, is amazing, and she's become a real good friend. She works right up the road, and it's between those two connections, and then Andrew, we met at McCall.
Yeah.
So, Google.
So, like, in a matter of, like, about 8 days. We started our Twitter handles on a Thursday. We met Kevin Honeycutt on Monday. We were presenting at our mobile conference for McCall Mobile Conference on Friday. We met Andrew there. We had got connected with Erin through Twitter with some stuff we were doing and met her on Saturday. So really in about a span of like 8 days, we went from kind of in our cave in the classroom to our heads spinning because we had made some amazing contacts and just
your
like
worlds literally exploded with that.
It really did. And Todd, you'll appreciate this because we all got together at ISTE. ISTE was Kevin Honeycutt's suggestion. He said, you guys need to be there. And so we talked to our district 4 days later. 4 days later, we talked to our superintendent on a Thursday and asked him if he would be supportive in doing that. And we worked some things out, and we got the email on Friday. And next thing you know, a week after school, Drew and I are flying down to ISTE, and we hooked up with you through Twitter a couple days before that. And you know a lot of the journey since then.
It's funny because I told Chris and Stacy before we started this interview that your answers were going to be hitting all of our questions. And so I'm like, God, he answered that.
We're already checking off every question we have already.
Because our next question was going to be about Twitter. But I wanted to bring up the fact that, you know, y'all are, like you mentioned, you're fairly new to Twitter, as in May 8th, you said, or 7th?
May 2nd.
And so in that time, since May, I mean, 4 months ago, you've already amassed a really large following. Have you had a chance at all? I mean, I know you're not back at school yet, so probably not, but to talk to any other fellow staff members about Twitter and what it's done for you? I mean, do you have any plans of that?
We've actually talked to, you know, we talked to our principal about it. We got a few teachers started on it before the school year ended, actually, because, I mean, we saw the power of it very quickly. Mm-hmm. With starting those Twitter handles on Thursday and then meeting Kevin Honeycutt Monday, I mean, that alone, you could just show the power, you know? So we really started spreading the word, and I know we got our librarian and the Spanish teacher, and we got a couple other teachers getting made Twitter handles, but, you know, they haven't used it that much, I think, this summer, but we'll be spreading the word definitely when we get back next week.
I think one of the things about Twitter that can be overwhelming to people is the amount of information. This one guy told me once it was like sticking your mouth over a garden hose and then turning it on, and that's like the amount of information that you see on Twitter, and I think that's why a lot of people are just kind of like, I don't need all that coming at me, but if you just pick and find what's out there, so much great stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, we always talk about our PLNs. I mean, oh, my God, the people we've been able to meet and connect with, I mean, you know, Todd alone right there. I mean, we connected to Twitter a couple days before ISTE, and I think we just hit the ground running when we landed and haven't taken a look back ever since. I mean, gee, I think I talk to Todd every day on the phone or text him, you know, 50 times. Even while he's doing a podcast, I'll text him.
Yeah, that's where my distracting texts come from.
Yeah, okay, so ISTE was kind of the first time I heard of you guys. I had been talking with Todd, and he said, you know, can't wait till you meet these guys and whatever. And you guys didn't even present at ISTE up until you were in the Bloggers Cafe. It was just kind of like a little ad hoc presentation. So how did that presentation go, I guess, and who was that with?
That was just us two, and that was kind of, again, that was a recommendation from Kevin Honeycutt, who just said, you know, you guys have got to find your niche, and we were talking about augmented reality, and he said, you know, make that your niche, and you need to be in the Bloggers Cafe. That's where you need to be, and, you know, and we decided to go kind of that first day, set up shop, and just showing people, you know, we know the power of it, and we want to share that with other people, because I feel like not a lot of people are out there talking about it. I mean, there are some, but we're pretty loud, so...
Yeah. So here's how it started. You know, Drew and I, we did Sunday morning, and we met Todd, and we did Sunday morning. We did a couple hours. Then we all went to lunch, and Drew and I were just thinking, all right, that was fun. We presented. We're done. And next thing, we're all at lunch. We're hanging with Todd and everything, and all of a sudden, Twitter, who we're still relatively new at, is going crazy. Well, Todd's blowing us up, which was great. But, like, the thing was, it's like people are like, when are you coming back? When's the next session? So Drew and I are like, what? All right. So we went and did like another 3.5 hours that afternoon. So we ended up doing 5.5 hours that first day. And we did Monday as well. And by Tuesday, we had lost our voices.
Yep. Yeah. And that's when we got to...
You lost your voice. Drew had plenty of
voice.
Yeah,
I didn't lose my voice as much as Brad did.
Yeah, you know what? I was presenting from morning to night, even into the late hours.
Yes, he was. It was impressive. Batteries never die.
Batteries never die. That's right.
Okay, you all already answered my question. Basically, is about, you know, how you got started in augmented reality and how that came to be. So I'm going to take Todd's question. after ISTE, you headed, you know, straight from there to Podstock. You know, and we kind of followed your tweets on the drive. The long drive. So, you know, what was that like, and was that also a district supported thing, or was that kind of on your own?
Brad, you can go ahead and take that one.
Okay. Podstock was amazing, and we got lucky enough to get in and be one of the presenters. And the district did support us, but we had to go out on our own, and that was fine. And we had some additional support from people as we were going out there. But I will tell you, Drew and I, it was one of the most amazing experiences. And ISTE was amazing, and we learned a lot. It was incredible. And Podstock was the same thing, but it was so different. It was small and intimate. And really, Drew and I didn't know what to expect, but I know you're probably going to ask about some mistakes at some point in the show, so I'll save one of the stories for that question. I've seen enough
of
your show.
Somebody listens to our podcast.
Exactly. But you know what? We were really amazed and humbled by what we saw at Podstock. It was an amazing conference, and the support we got for being two guys who were, you know, real new to the speaking circuit and the ed technology, and the way they welcomed us and took us in and supported us. I mean, our presentation on Friday that we gave to close Podstock, I mean, it was something I will never forget, ever, ever, because the support and the people that were there was so much more than we could have expected. Drew and I had trouble getting into the room. We just couldn't believe there's people waiting to get into our room, and it was quite an experience, and it was wonderful. Even the long drive there and back was good.
That was a long drive.
Well, Drew, and then I know soon after that, Drew, you headed to Q Rockstar. How was that? Because I know you ended up unexpectedly presenting at Q Rockstar.
Yeah, you know, I got an awesome opportunity to go out there and and attend a, I mean, who would pass up the opportunity to go to on an aircraft carrier to an ed tech conference? I mean, I couldn't pass that up to begin with. I just think that's crazy. And, you know, I was very fortunate to get to go out there, and I had some family out there, so I was able to stay with them and kind of, you know, check out the city. But, yeah, once I got out there, I got a tweet from John Carrippo and just saying, hey, you know, would you be interested in getting on the ship early and this and that? And I'd, going out there, you know, I mean, that's where everything is happening, you know. So we tried to – Brad and I were talking, like, trying to line up as many different, you know, connections as we could make as possible while I was out there. And
you did.
Yeah, tried to, yeah. And I got fortunate enough to give what he called a mini keynote at lunch and kind of present and just kind of share our story about what we're doing and talk about augmented reality a little bit. And it was a great experience. I met a lot of amazing people out there, like Victoria Olson and Alice Keeler and, you know, Carl and John Stevens and, I mean, a ton of amazing people.
Those are some good names. I like all those people.
Sam Patterson. I mean, it's just like
Sam, yeah.
The Kimbleys. I mean, tons of people out there.
Did you get to meet the puppets?
I did meet the puppets. I've met Waka and I met, you know, all of his friends. And, oh, yeah, met the puppets.
For those of you who don't know,
Sam Patterson. I don't know if anyone's seen the new hashtag created by Carl, but it's hashtag BYOP. Bring your own puppet. And it was like build your own puppet. It's got many, many themes. It's phenomenal. That might be my favorite hashtag of the year.
Well, I know that you guys have kind of built your name around iPads. So we kind of wanted to move into, why do you think the iPad is the tool for the classroom, and have you played with any other kind of tech tools that you like instead of just the iPad?
Brad?
Okay, I'm on. You know, the iPad just... You know, the ease of use is probably one of the first things. Is, you know, you can take it out of the box. And one thing I'm always talking about or tweeting about is kids live in this world of technology. You know, they take an iPad out and they're ready to go. We take an iPad out and we're asking for PD or in service. You know, it's like just take it out and use it because it's very friendly and easy. And with it being like open to, you know, apps being created by educators and everything else, there's amazing stuff out there. The price point's pretty good compared to like a nice laptop, so they're great getting in the hands of kids. The ease of use and what we've seen happen in the classroom is really why Drew and I got on our soapboxes right away, because, you know, him and I in both our classes have just seen some amazing transformative learning in the education system. So it's, you know, in 3, 4, 5 years, I don't know what the device will be. You know, but I have played with some other things, you know, the Microsoft, the Surface, you know, the Mini. The Mini's wonderful. We have iPad 2, so the Mini's nice because it's faster and the camera's really nice. But I haven't played with anything else other than that, and I'll let Drew tag on that one.
Well, if anyone knows me, they know I'm an absolute Apple fanboy, so I'm pretty much an Apple slappy, so the iPad's it for me, but... For me, it's the mobility of it, and, you know, Brad and I push augmented reality, and you can't do that with a Chromebook or, you know, those other, or a lot of other tablets the way that you can with an iPad. So for me, that's one of the main reasons is because we can do that. Same thing with one of the other main apps that we talk about is CargoBot, and that is an iPad-only specific app that was, you know, created on the iPad. So, I mean, a lot of the main apps that we've used in our classroom that we've seen change the learning and change the way that, you know, we teach, have been on the iPad, and that's what we've had access to. So I would say that that's probably the reason that we talk about iPads so much. I don't think we're stuck to the two guys and some iPads, but, you know, we'll see.
The two guys, for sure.
Yes, the two guys. We're definitely the two guys, but we'll see where the iPad thing goes.
So what advice would you give to districts that have limited resources? Would you suggest even one iPad or maybe getting something that's cheaper, or, you know, what kind of route would you suggest?
I'd say any kind of technology that you're able to get in the classroom, the better, you know. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to get it into the classroom with BYOD, or, you know, I got my eyes opened by Donors Choose, donorschoose.org. from Kenya 75, Wendy, right?
Wendy, shout out.
Yep, yep, Wendy, shout out there. And she blew my mind. I didn't know about donor's shoes before that, and you know, I think that's how
Todd got his first iPod.
There you go. So I think that's a great way to, you know, I plan on getting into donor's shoes and doing some things like that once I get into the school year. But you know, any technology you can get into the classroom is beneficial.
Yeah, I think definitely with BYOD and so many campuses going that way now, it's, you know, I think that's going to be the way to go, is having the kids bring their own devices in.
Well, yeah, it just increases your numbers quickly, and, you know, so many kids, their families have something, even if it's an old iPhone or, an iPod Touch, you know, whatever. A lot of that stuff works just fine.
And I think Brad Wilson that had a bunch of old iPod Touches and old things he had got, and he was doing some amazing things at a session, I think, that Brad went to.
Yeah, I saw Brad Wilson at Macaulay over a year ago, and I was just telling Drew, maybe even today or a few days ago, that I was really impressed with what he was able to do. I mean, I saw his schedule and everything he was doing. He had like 3 iPod Touches, 2 old iPhones, an iPad, you know, 1, 2. I mean, just it was crazy, and the things he was able to do was so impressive. So, you know, big shout out to him as well.
I don't think we've mentioned it yet, but your website where you can find a lot more about what you guys are doing is twoguysandipad.com. What is it? Two guys
and some iPads.com,
excuse me.
Right.
And then you also did some augmented reality stuff on the Techlandia podcast, which is those guys are all friends of ours, and we encourage people to go over there to listen to that podcast where you talk about all the different ways you use augmented reality, you know, in your classrooms. Do you know what episode number that was that you guys
29?
Were on over there?
29.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So definitely you want to check that out because they're doing some really, really, really cool stuff on their classrooms. We know that you're getting to work with some major companies like Daiquiri and Erasmus. Can you tell us kind of more about, you know, just those companies and how you got in with those and that kind of stuff?
The cool new stuff.
Yeah, any good stuff in the pipeline.
Brad, you want to tell a story about Daiquiri, and then I can go in and talk about Erasmus a little bit.
Sure. All right. You know, Drew and I have been lucky enough to get connected with some amazing people, and it's great how it's been amazing. Well, a friend of mine sent me an email one day. I play soccer, and a friend of mine that I play soccer with, he's the one that hooked us up with our developer for our augmented reality app that we're working on. He sent an email to me and said, hey, there's a panel discussion on augmented reality down in Detroit. You guys want to go? So I tell Drew, he's like, well, yeah, we want to go. So what it is, it's a panel discussion. And Drew and I are like, right on, man, we're going to be there. We go after school. We got our backpacks on. We got, like, you know, jeans and a shirt. And Drew, what did it look like when we
literally
walked in?
We thought we were going to, like, a PD, like a workshop, you know. We walk in, and we look like we are total teachers, right? There's, like, it's a marketing thing, so everyone's all dressed up. It's, like, their drinks, and it's, like, a mixer. It's at this old theater, and we just are completely out of place with our backpacks and 12 devices. But we made it work, so.
Yeah, so the way that worked is Brian Mullins was on the panel. He's the CEO of Daiquiri. Brian Wassum was on the panel. He's a secretary. He's a board member. He's a secretary of augmentedreality.org. He also does he's in the legal field of augmented reality. He's amazing. And there's some other people, executives, like an executive from Ford, another entrepreneur from Wisconsin. And so after their panel discussion, and by the way, Drew did stand up and ask a question, which was awesome.
Hey.
After the panel discussion, we stayed and chatted and, you know, talked with Brian Mullins and talked with Brian Wassum, and you know, we just kind of hit it off with them. And, you know, Drew followed up the next day with Brian Mullins, the CEO of Daiquiri, with LinkedIn and stuff, and started to get some communication going. And then Brian Wassum, he's an attorney that works around here. He shouted us out one night on a Twitter chat, and so you know, those contacts just started happening, and Drew was able to do some, you know, get an amazing opportunity with Brian out in Sunnyvale. So I'll let him finish up there, and then he can talk about Erasmus some.
Yeah, you know, I got we've been very lucky enough that, you know, they have the office, their main office is in L.A., Daiquiri, and they've got a small place in, you know, Palo Alto out there, but then they have one guy that's in Detroit, and he's literally, you know, 10 minutes from our school. So we've connected with him, Steve, quite a bit, and he's let us, you know, gave us some awesome things that Daiquiri was working on and, you know, opportunity to showcase a lot of their stuff. And just through that connection with Steve and Brian Wassum, we got connected with Brian Mullen again and Gaia, and I was able to meet with them out there, which was amazing. So it was great. They have a real passion for education, and they kind of see how 4D can take learning to another level, and I completely agree with them. So that was a great opportunity to meet with them out there. I know Brad wishes he could have definitely been there.
Yeah. You know, and so one cool thing is Steve, the local rep here, he's been great. We just call him up, and we've actually met for coffee a few times and say, hey, we've got a presentation. What do you have? And he gives us everything he can. And between Steve and then Drew's trip out to California, they've been able to give us just about everything in their arsenal. They told us they wanted us fully prepared to be able to show and demo anything and everything and have it at our disposal. And it's really cool because they've seen our passion, and now they're asking for feedback on with us and asked us to check things out, and we're working on some ideas together and stuff. It's been an amazing journey so far.
And then with Erasmo, we connected again through Twitter with one of their guys in Chicago, Ben. And we're going to try and meet with him right before Podstock, and it didn't work out. So he's going to be up here in Detroit the 28th and 29th of this month. So we've made plans to connect then and, you know, just kind of go over some things that hopefully we can improve, you know, to or help give him suggestions to improve the app and the studio account so it's more suitable for education and linking and syncing the accounts for both the device and the studio account. So hopefully that'll... you know, having that connection where we're not going through, you know, different levels of people, hopefully getting it right to him, it'll really get things fixed quickly and make Erasmo even that much more powerful for education.
Yeah, it has huge potential. I played with it a little bit last week, and just huge potential for education.
I agree.
Absolutely.
You guys started the whole AR Detroit, and I think you had your first meeting, right?
Yep.
How did that go?
Oh, my gosh. Now, so when Drew was out in living the rock star life out in California, we had an agreement. He would go out there, and I knew it was a vacation, but he was going to work a ton. So I told him I'd hold the fort down here. So we had to kick off our first AR Detroit meeting without him, and he was missed. But it was a great success, and I had just published the post last night on the meeting. You know, it was set up, it started with Brian Wassum. Drew and Brian and I sat down at Starbucks and we're having coffee and just chatting about everything. And Brian brought it up and said, hey, you know, augmentedreality.org, Ori Inbar is the president. He said one of his things, he likes to support community discussions. And there's an AR New York, an AR Chicago, and an AR LA. He goes, what do you think about starting an AR Detroit? We can all be the co-founders. And right then, the baby was born right then. And so we were able to get all the planning, and Brian Wassum hosted it at his law office. And we were told if we had 12 people there for the first meeting, it'd be very successful. We had 15, maybe 17 at our first meeting. And I won't belabor everything we did, but I did write about it in detail. But long story short, we had some amazing demos. We had demos by Daiquiri. We had a demo by Red Piston, Jacob from Red Piston, they've been doing a lot of national augmented reality stuff. They did for Lowe's, Mercedes-Benz, and they just put something out for Bratz Dolls, which was really cool. And then Jim, our friend, he did some demoing of some stuff he had built, and then we showed our Planets app that were finalizing as we speak, and then we just had some amazing roundtable discussion, and it was fascinating. And all the members there went around and shared what they do in augmented reality, and just the brain power in that room was just amazing. And I was just I was just overwhelmed with excitement because it was one of the coolest things I'd been a part of. And so if you go look at my Twitter handle, like if you see my Twitter account, my header picture is from that meeting. So if anyone wants to see what that looks like, it was pretty awesome.
Hey, so being a science teacher, you guys, I've heard you mention that Planets app before, but I haven't found much information about that. Are you willing to share that yet? Or are you still kind of developing that? Or
Drew, go ahead.
Oh, it's still being developed yet. We have some pictures up on our blog under the augmented reality section. I don't think I've put any new little short videos up on it yet, but the updates are awesome. I mean, the guy does an amazing job. You know, we're helping with the different content and information that goes into it, and it's pretty sweet. So
give me like a five sentence summary of what the Planets app is. What does it do?
Well, the whole thing it kind of showcases, you know, the power of augmented reality and what you can do with it, really. I mean, you think about, you know, you want to learn about the planets, you want to, you know, watch Bill Nye, which everyone loves, but it's like you got Bill Nye, a science guy you can watch, or different videos, you can read a book about it, pictures, things like that. But if you could actually have the solar system sitting on your desk and pick which planet you want to zoom in on, you can move it, manipulate it, open it up, learn about the layers. I mean, I want the solar system on my desk. I don't want to read a book. I will read a book, but I mean, the power of it, you know, it's a different way of learning. And it is so engaging for the students when you see them use things like this, and it's amazing. It's like magic to them.
Yeah, it sounds amazing.
Now, do y'all have a release date idea of when it's going to be coming out?
We're supposed to meet. We're texting back and forth with Jim today, and we're supposed to meet within the next week, and hopefully within the next month, I would say.
Yeah, I think we're shooting mid-September. I think that's a reasonable target date to get it out in the store, get in the App Store.
I'll be looking forward to my free pump promo code whenever it does release.
You will get one.
Well played.
Oh, that's Chris for you, always thinking that. Okay, so changing pace just a little bit, moving kind of away from the AR and more into you and things that you've been through. Is there a moment in your career, and I think you may have hit on this before, not sure, but a moment in your career that you're never going to forget, where maybe you were so emotionally impacted that it's just going to stick with you forever?
For me anyway, and I think Brad will probably agree with this, is one of the first ones. Was really, after we met with Kevin, we were driving home, and literally he gave us a shout out on Twitter, and it was just like bing, 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 vibrating. I mean, it's just like new follower, new follower, new follower. Like, we're like, what is going on, you know? Because we had like 6-7 followers at that point. So, I mean, that was just kind of like, that kind of made you realize just kind of like what we just did in the awesome conversation we just had. And just the power of Twitter to where you can connect with people like that and they're willing to reach out. And that's been the amazing thing for me, is that everyone that we have met through Twitter and actually met in person, it is amazing how nice everybody is, how willing everyone's willing to help you. They want to help you and share ideas. And, I mean, it's been amazing.
Yeah. Since Drew brought up the Kevin Honeycutt one, I won't use that one. But yeah, it was like a 25-minute drive home, and I think we got more followers than minutes it took to get home. It was so ridiculous and amazing. But for me, I think another recent thing was when Drew and I went into our presentation room at Podstock, and I will still never forget when we had to get through people to get to the front, and when people didn't leave from the previous presentation, and when people came up and put microphones on us, and they had a camera, and there was just people everywhere, and people excited to see and hear what we were ready to talk about. It just, I mean, it's what I've been dying for. I love talking to people and sharing what I'm so passionate about and sharing the stories about how it impacts kids' lives and changes the world of education. And I guess I don't know if it was validation, because I wasn't looking for that, but I mean, Drew and I, we were just in there and it was just so amazing. If you, just some of the pictures you can see, I've got a smile from ear to ear, and it just it was one of the coolest things I've done to date, and I will never forget the impact it had, because it was just like being on stage. It was like, all right, it's time. You're on, guys. And that's kind of what Drew and I love to do, and it's a great journey.
So one of the things you alluded to earlier, you knew this one was coming, but we're going to talk about failure for a second. So it's kind of a huge piece of the whole learning process. And can you think of a time when you experienced failure and really learned from it? You can get your notes out now, too.
Drew, you go.
Open book test.
You can go first, Drew.
Failure. I'd say that there's been a couple times presenting, because when we're showing things, especially with augmented reality, you need the internet. And like at Podstock, it happened again at Q Rockstar, and if the internet is not working you can talk about augmented reality, it's awesome, and all of a sudden you go to show it and it won't work. You know? So we've kind of learned to make sure that we have a dongle with us now and that we can plug right in to show it. And you know, that it can be kind of embarrassing at times when you talk it up so much and then all of a sudden you go to show it and it just doesn't work.
But the good thing is since Drew and I, we always talk about, since we're two people, it's so nice because, you know, a lot of times we'll have a technical difficulty or something, and Drew's like the rock star there, so he's over there working on the computer. I just keep going. We know what each other are about to say, so if I have to cover for 5 minutes on his part of the presentation or vice versa, we just get it covered, and, you know, we try to be as seamless as possible, and but we are learning a lot along the way, but... I'll share, since we're talking about this journey, I'll share when Drew and I first arrived to Podstock, I just don't know what we were thinking. I mean, really, we agreed to be part of a gift exchange there, and so Drew and I go to gift exchange. Apparently, we weren't very well prepared because we didn't really think about it. We didn't have anything necessarily from our home state or Detroit, and so we said, all right, well, we've got some stuff from Daiquiri, that's from Michigan. We're gonna give a cube and a calendar away. And so Drew and I go in this room, and it's a small group. Everybody's sitting in chairs, sitting around in a circle, and everybody's putting their gift-wrapped gifts up there, wrapped in nice wrapping paper bags. And Drew and I don't have a thing. We've got a calendar and a cube, and... So we walk in, and you know, Drew's like, we're doing it. We're doing it. I'm like, oh, man, really? He goes, he knows, you know what? We're going to do this. I said, all right. So we walk in, and we said, oh, I have to be wrapped? So Drew's like, all right, let's go get something. So we go to the registration table, and we're like, do you have any plastic or anything? You know the little gift bags you get when you register? They had some of these orange plastic handle bags. So we got those. We get two of them, we go into the bathroom, we start getting a bunch of toilet paper, we start stuffing it.
Oh, my God.
We stuff it till it's like a knapsack. It looks like a mini little sleeping bag. So here come these two guys, brand new to the scene. We come in and we set our little orange plastic bags on the table.
Full of toilet paper.
Stuff.
It was the best wrap job there.
That's awesome. You'll be happy to know that. Keep going.
It ended up working out great because a couple people kind of knew who we were and what we're doing, and someone said something like, oh, I bet it's some cool augmented reality stuff. Well, then it kind of got intriguing. Well, there was 18 people, and the fourth person grabbed one of our gifts, and so they got it out, and we're like, oh, so we had to do a little demo. Darn. So we did a little demo and showed them the cube and the calendar, and next, you know, everybody wanted one. And I'll let you finish that story, Drew.
Yeah, it was pretty funny because we had, you know, it was one of those gift exchanges where you can steal someone else's gift once they've picked, but you can only steal it twice. Once it's been stolen twice, you know, it can't be stolen anymore. And there was three gifts that were stolen twice, our two gifts, the orange bags full of toilet paper. And I stole for the second time a bottle of wine.
Nice.
And that was it.
You'll be happy to know that Andrea Keller is watching. She's on Twitter right now.
She is the mastermind behind the...
Yeah, she's saying, I'm so sad I didn't get one of those cubes from the gift exchange.
Well, she had it, and it got stolen from her by the very last person to go stole it.
Yep. So that worked out, but boy, Drew and I came in so green. We had, I don't know what we're thinking. We had just driven for 18 hours maybe and had some bad, chicken fingers or something. I don't know.
Now we're getting real personal.
Well, Drew paid for too many. He's like, how many did you get? I'm like, I got three. He goes, you can get three? I said, you can get as many as you want. He goes, well, I got four. I'm like, well, okay, three.
If I know Drew, I know that he doesn't like paying for food when he doesn't get the right food, because that's the one time I saw him.
Tell you
don't mess up Drew's food order or charge him too much, because that's when he goes off.
When you order an $8 meal and they charge you for the $25 meal and then they send back what you had, that didn't make a lot of sense.
Oh, man.
There's an ISTE story for you.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Chris, did you have something to add?
No, that was it.
Oh, okay. Well, before I ask the last question, we haven't really talked about this, but Drew, when you started teaching, were you and Brad on the same team your first year?
This has actually just been my first year in Bloomfield Hills. I taught in China for 4 months, and then I came back and taught for a charter school company around here for a year and a half. And this is my first year. We were both third grade, which is sad because it will not be that way next year. I'm not sure what grade I'm teaching yet, but hopefully I find out in the next week.
So I was going to say, school's next week, isn't it?
Well, that's when we report, so hopefully I'll find out in the next week or so. But Brad, I think, is going to be third grade next year, and then I'll be first or fourth, and I'll let Brad tell you the little – he hopes I'm first, but I'll let him tell you about that.
He wants your kids, that's why. He wants your kids after you've had them.
No, that ain't it. Go ahead, Brad. Tell him.
No, if he's in first grade, there's a good chance he could have my daughter in his class.
I knew that's what you were going to say.
I told him I do not want that because I heard her dad is crazy.
Crazy parent.
Parent alert.
The other thing I wanted to ask is, did y'all hit it off right away, or did it take some warming up for y'all to work together?
I didn't like Brad from the moment I met him.
Kind of like
no,
Todd
we
and
actually
I.
did because exactly. I mean. We're very lucky that, I think there's only, six male elementary teachers in Bloomfield Hills, and we have five of them in our building. And
yeah.
So we have
what
we call the men's club, and we have there's t-shirts and things
God,
like
you're
that.
You're in a lot of clubs, Drew.
Short man club, strong for life.
Yeah. Drew and I actually, we hit it off right away. I don't even remember, it was funny because he got hired like 2 days before school started, so I didn't even know we added an extra class. And so one of my fellow teachers was there, and she said, oh, yeah, we hired a guy. His name's Drew, and, it's going to be great. I'm like, all right, right on, bring it on, let's go. So, we hit it off, and it's been amazing ever since.
Well, before we let you guys go, we know that there is some news we've been prepping since our last podcast that y'all were going to share with our viewers. So do y'all want to go ahead and share that exciting news that we have?
Yeah, we're pretty excited about this, and we had to call to make sure it was okay to share today because we told you we were going to share it, but then we're like, oh, I hope it's all right that we share
check it.
Yeah, right? So I think we're both excited that, hopefully in a couple weeks that we'll have a chance to join the reins, kind of like you guys in Techlandia, and we're going to have our two guys show with EdReach on the EdReach network. So really excited about to join EdReach and give give educational teachers a voice and things like that, and we're very honored and to have that opportunity.
What kind of things are you guys going to be?
Where's the sound effect?
Yeah. What kind of things are you guys going to be talking about? What kind of show is it going to be geared towards?
Go ahead, Brad.
All right. Well, actually, yeah, we were going over the format and everything today. It's going to be 30 minutes a week, and basically, we're going to use it as a way to connect with teachers all over the country and all over the world, but about the latest technology, the way they can implement it in their classroom, We will have interviews, but they'll be like just shorter segments. We're also going to be doing shout outs about like what's going on in the ed tech world. Like, you know, hey guys, next week is, you know, is ICE, be sure to check it out. Or things like, hey presenters, it's call for presenter time for, you know, your ed conference in Texas, or things like that. We're going to celebrate game-changing teachers and ideas. That's kind of, and of course, we're always going to have the augmented reality piece to it. With all the things we have our hands in, we're going to be trying to share the latest and greatest in, you know, not only technology but augmented reality, and just, you know, try to continue to push that those boundaries in the education system.
So, do you have a name for the podcast?
We do. And it's very creative. our blog being the two guys and some iPads, we didn't, like we talked about earlier in the show, we don't really want to limit ourselves to iPads because there's so many other great technologies that, you know, people are using in their classrooms and in education. So it will be the two guys show. Cool. And the two guys show will kind of the two guys and, you know, whatever we're doing that week. So if we're talking about some ninjas, it'll be, you know, the two guys.
That's and right. Some
or whatever. So that's kind of the name. It's very creative, I know.
It is. It's great.
So, I like it. But we're just really excited about it. We're really, really happy that they asked us to be part of their network and honored to be part of it.
And we were very honored because this all, you know, it kind of caught some momentum at ISTE with us doing our thing in the Bloggers Cafe and meeting Scott and Dan. And they asking us to do an interview with them, and we all just kind of hit it off, and it's just been a great thing. We've been able to work with them over the last few months.
Now, do y'all have a debut date?
We're still setting the debut date. We would like to do it in the next couple weeks. It's going to be Monday evenings is the time that we're shooting for right now. We're going to try and get it up and running and everything going by August 26th, but if not, maybe a week or two later.
Do you plan?
But don't worry, we'll be loud about when it is.
Oh, I know. do you plan on broadcasting it similar to like Techlandia and Edu All Stars, or just putting it up later?
It will be broadcast like Techlandia. It'll be live, and you know, just like all the other ones, like you guys are doing right now.
Hey, and Todd, I've already talked to you about this a couple times. I hope that we can get it to stream is just as awesome as yours is. I preach about how awesome you guys put it out there. I mean,
hey, Chris is the brain behind our operation.
All right, I'm gonna be talking to you, Chris, then for help.
Yeah, no problem. I've got some stuff for you.
Well, I was talking to my mom today, Todd. My mom.
Yeah. By the way, big shout out to Carol who's listening right now.
Follow her on Twitter.
That's right. Brad's mom is on Twitter.
Brad, I should tell the story about your dad calling your parents. That story is hilarious.
Oh, about you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I'm trying to track Drew down for like 2 weeks to tell him this ridiculous story because I'm calling my parents down. My parents live in Alabama, and My other brother is visiting there, and all the family's down there. And so I'm talking to my mom on the phone, and I said, "Oh, is Dad around?" And she's like, "Oh, he's in there talking to Barry about Drew's trip to San Francisco and how he's meeting with that company that is in Popular Science this month." I'm like, "What are you talking about? Well, who is he meeting, Dad?" I mean, like, I said, "How does he know that?" He goes, "Oh, well, Dad follows Drew on Twitter and his Facebook. He knows everything that's going on." I'm like, "What? I don't even know what's going on. How does my dad know this? He's talking to my brother about it. Really?"
Your parents are hilarious. I swear, I would love to meet them someday because the stories you tell, they are so funny.
Someday, my friend, someday.
Well, we just want to thank you guys for taking the time to share all of your ideas with us and your background. And go ahead and give us your contact information, how people can get in touch with you, your website, Twitter.
Go ahead, Brad.
Okay. I'm Brad Wade, as you can see on the screen. The best way, and I encourage people, is to hit me up on Twitter. I'm Tech Brad Wade. I'm more of an addict than I should be, but I have nothing on Drew. which we all know. And then that's the best way to get a hold of me. Our blog is Two Guys and Some iPads. And also we have an Instagram, which my son started for me and then Drew took for a while. But now, if you notice, I'm really handling the Instagram a good bit now because I really enjoy the videos. I know Todd sees them all the time. But so you can hit us up on Instagram and Twitter and check out our blog. We try to put some really good posts out there for you.
Yeah, we also have a Pinterest page that we've created where we post a bunch of the things that we're doing. Also, we have an augmented reality page that we share with Aaron Klein and some other great educators who put ideas up on there. And we also have a Facebook page that you can go like. I mean, if there's a social media outlet, we probably have a page for it. but yeah, I'd say that the easiest way to get a hold of us is on Twitter. We try our hardest to reply to everyone that has questions and help them any way that we can, because we've had amazing help from so many people throughout this journey so far. So we're trying to pay it forward.
Yeah.
We should also give a special shout out to Craig Yin. He's been out there live tweeting the entire hour. So if you want to follow him, he's awesome. At Craig Yin, he said something funny. He said your new podcast should be sponsored by 5 Hour Energy.
It should.
That is so true.
We should make that happen.
Yeah, that
is awesome. I don't know why they wouldn't. We put enough hashtags and pictures and stuff up.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Don't you boil coffee? Yeah, I like 5 Hour Energy.
Again, we really appreciate you guys being here. A couple other ways to connect with us. You can follow us at EduAllStarsHQ or hashtag EduAllStars. We also have a blog at EduAllStars.com where you can find links to all the previous shows that we've done. We're now 10 deep, so there's lots of great interviews out there to go and search out and watch and listen to. And lastly, you can find us on iTunes at just by searching EduAllStars, no spaces, and you can subscribe to us there and go from there.
And we've got a lot of great guests coming up, so we want you to keep watching the show and keep checking us out. Like Chris said, follow us on Twitter. That's where the newest updates will be about who our next guest is. We're lining up some pretty awesome people. One that I am dying to share, but we're still trying to finalize to see whether or not we can get him on the show.
That's good.
So it's a pretty
Todd,
big name.
Is that the one I'm thinking of?
All of you on this panel know, but I'm trying to get some finalized things before I announce it because he's too big of a name for me to say something him not be on the show. But we're working on some other really cool, awesome people, so we just want y'all to stay tuned.
And Todd, can I
definitely. Go ahead.
Okay, I was gonna say, hey, I just wanted to give a shout out to Angel Meyer. Because we were talking last week, and I told her some big shoes to fill, and I hope she's watching. Hope we did well tonight.
Those are big shoes to fill.
Yeah, she rocked it last week, and so she was awesome. Hope we did a good job, and look forward to talking with all you guys.
Yeah, and definitely subscribe on iTunes and leave a rating and feedback. That definitely helps with the rankings and helps other people find us. And as Chris says, if you don't like the show, then don't rate us.
Go away. Don't ruin our 5-star rating.
Exactly. We have a perfect rating right now. But we wanted to thank you again, Brad and Drew, for coming on and giving us some time. I know it's kind of late over in Michigan right now, but we appreciate y'all. Y'all inspire us, which is why I wanted you on the show. So we thank you for your time, and we'll chat at you later.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Stacy. Thanks, Todd. We'll see you guys.